gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. Just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. This is the Ball Street Journal, and we are your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Floyd, Trey, and Ron. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. In fact, with what's going on in the past weeks, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm doing fabulous. But without further ado, we've got a great guest on for this week. So I'm just going to flip it up a little bit for your Section 357 faithful out there. And let me toss it over to my man, Trey. How you doing?
What is going on, my people? I'm actually out here in Florida and got a chance to enjoy some of the heat. For real. But I know somebody that knows a lot more about this sport than I do, so I'm going to go ahead and throw the alley-oop over to my man, Ronnie. What's going on, man?
The season's over, but basketball never stops. You know, still a little bit from Nike. Bringing one of our sports talk brethren onto the show with us today. But before we bring him into the conversation, we got to switch it out over to Campbellton Road, somewhere between Cascade and Ponce, probably. It's my main man, Floyd. How you doing?
As always, guys, feeling good, feeling great. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation with you all and to share that with our fans. This is the Section 357 show. So, now that everybody is all here and accounted for, I'm going to flip it back over to my man, Big Shot Ron, to introduce our very special guest.
What's going on? Section 357 show. NBA season now over. We've crowned a not-so-new champion, the Miami Heat, going back-to-back. But what's the future looking like? And what's the NBA offseason looking like? Well, we had to bring in friend of the program, one of our brethren out here in the sports talk world, Mosey Platt, Miami Heat Index, joining us today. Mosey, what's going on, champ?
How much, Big Shot Ron? Good to be back on the Section 357.
All right, well, let's get right into it, man. First of all, how's your liver? You know, we talked a lot about on Twitter about your liver. I know the heat caused you a lot of Hennessy intake over this postseason. How's your liver doing, first of all?
The liver's in good shape. The liver's in good shape. My wife's liver took a little bit of a pounding, but mine is fine.
All right, well, let's just get kind of to the first question, man. Mario Chalmers is back. Pat Riley looks like Mike Miller, no amnesty. So how much different do you think this team is going to look next year going into what's hopefully the three-peat for you all?
It's not going to look very different at all. You know, Pat Riley's already said they're going to go into training camp with one open spot. They'll let the invites in camp fight it out for that. So you know, whoever looks good in summer league, and if they find anybody on the scrap sheet, or, you know, over from Europe, you know, they'll get an invite to camp as well. But other than that, it's going to be the same team, just, you know, one of the days.
with all this change happening, or lack of change actually happening with the Heat, what missing piece do you feel that needs to be filled and adjusted to in order to have a championship run again next year?
I think the weaknesses on the team, or the thing that I think they need to address is, I think they need a third point guard. Because if, you know, the point guard play can already be shaky with Chalmers and Cole, and if one of them gets hurt, then, you know, you go from shaky to unknown. So I would like to have a third point guard as insurance, protect against injury to one of those two. And then I think they need to get a replacement in for Udonis Haslem. Not to replace him next year, but they need to start grooming his replacement. So maybe it's one of the young kids that's already on the roster, Jarvis Renato, or maybe they need to find somebody else if Renato doesn't really show himself in summer league. But they got to start preparing to be replaced. He's already out with his torn meniscus for the last month of the season on, so it's time for that to start happening.
Mosi, I don't want to move on too far into the future. Let's go back and focus on your liver here. I made a very famous quote-unquote prediction amongst the crew, amongst the Section 357 show, even before the postseason started. I said that the Heat, A, were going to win it all, and B, would not lose two games in a row. Now, there were two times where this prediction came under fire, and I could have lost both. I just want to know, how confident did you feel throughout this postseason? I know you are the biggest Heat fan out there, but how confident did you feel knowing that on two occasions the Heat could have been eliminated?
So, to be honest with you, I don't know why this was the case, but I've always felt they were going to win Game 6. I was never nervous. My wife was, you know, crazy about it. She probably quit for the team three times in that game, but I never felt like they were going to lose Game 6. You know, there was one little stretch in Game 6 in the third quarter where I thought they were on the verge of quitting. And, you know, it looked like Dwayne Wade had that look on his face. He started pulling up threes. It looked like, you know, he was getting desperate. The team started to look desperate. But then, oddly enough, Mario Chalmers and LeBron James started running 1-3 pick and rolls. You know, they got the lead down to 10. That was the closest I got. When I thought they were on the verge of quitting, you know, almost going down like 16 in the third quarter of Game 6. But other than that, I was never really worried about whether or not they were going to lose the series.
But, Mosey, let's get to Dwayne Wade. The microscope is always on LeBron James. It's been that way since the day one. But I know you are a Dwayne Wade guy. The ups and downs of the postseason, his knees. Talk about a little bit about his future maybe in Miami and his legacy. Because we always talk about LeBron James' legacy. What about Dwayne Wade's legacy? Now, I know you're the man to speak to this as being definitely a guy in that Dwayne Wade camp.
That's an interesting question. So I was disappointed going into the playoffs when, you know, he hurt the knee before the playoffs started. So that was the most disappointing thing to me about the season, that, you know, a month before the regular season ended, you knew he was going into the playoffs hurt. And it's frustrating because the team never tells you how hurt he is until, you know, the playoffs are over. So, you know, after the playoffs are over, you find out how bad the bone bruises are this season, same thing last season, with the knee having to get drained and surgery. But in terms of his legacy, I think, you know, as a Dwayne Wade fan, I'm clearly biased, but I think he doesn't get the credit for playing at the level he played at. And this year's level was lower than last year's level. But still playing at the level he played at on one leg, two postseasons in a row, I think it's an achievement that deserves a lot of credit. You know, and Pat Riley said this after the championship, when they said it's not just Dwayne Wade has aged and his skills are diminished, it's that he was lame. You know, he's not any less of a player. He was just going out there lame without his full physical arsenal. But yet, to still come through in a Game 7, you know, with 11 of 21, 23 points, you know, basically second, third best player on the floor on one leg, not too many players can say that. And so he's done that 2 years in a row. This year is not as impressive as last year when he had to do it against Russell Westbrook. But I think it's impressive nonetheless.
I have a question for both Ron and Mosey as it relates to the business side of the NBA. Either of you guys can answer this. Are you surprised that more players on teams have not been amnestied up to this point?
I'm going to say no. Because the point of that, you know, the thing about the amnesty, right, the only point is to get under the salary cap. Teams still have to pay the player's salary. So it doesn't really save the team money. It gives the team flexibility in acquiring players. And unless you're a, you know, unless you maybe sign a really bad player to a really bad contract, you know, for, you know, $15 million, most of those players that have those contracts are good. So nobody's going to amnesty those players. So now you're talking about players in that, you know, $5 to $6 million range. And you're only going to replace that player with another journeyman. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of incentive to me. Like, outside of Gilbert Arenas, who I probably had that bad contract, there was really no other contract of a player with a large salary that needed to be amnesty. There's not that many bad, big contracts in the league, so I'm not surprised.
The amnesty is only good as the player, to be honest with you. And if you look at the Bulls situation, going back to Carlos Boozer, I'm still not fully convinced he even will get amnesty because, as Mo said, eight-figure ball players don't get amnesty unless they are Gilbert Arenas, who has the bum knees. Carlos Boozer is a guy, he steals 16.9 rebounds, as many flaws as he has, which his production makes him not really a great candidate for amnesty. And the bottom line is, owners are just not going to pay guys to do nothing. Despite the flexibility he might give you on the cap, you know, these are very rich men who are just not going to give money away for free. So the amnesty really, and because you only have a limited amount of time to use it, you have to be real, real judicious in how you use it going forward. So that's why I'm agree with Mosi. I'm not really surprised that hasn't been used that much.
Hey, Ron, I got a question for you about Boozer. I know you guys had a show earlier where you talked about Chris Bosh and whether or not he was a Hall of Famer. And I had this debate about Boozer with a Bulls fan during the season. Because it seems to me that Boozer and Bosh get a lot of criticism from fans and non-fans alike. You know, whether you're a fan of the team or not a fan of that team, Boozer and Bosh are magnets of criticism. And I don't really understand it. You kind of touched on it in the Bosh Hall of Fame discussion, but these are guys that went from being first options to third options on their team. And I don't think there's any other teams in the league that have better third options than Boozer and Bosh. But they don't get treated like the best third options in the league. And I don't understand.
Well, my issue with Carlos Boozer is the fact, well, one, he was the sixth choice in that free agent class. And he got paid first choice money. The biggest issue with Carlos Boozer is that, one, he doesn't have the athleticism he had in Utah, and he honestly doesn't fit what Derrick Rose does best. So a lot of times, instead of being a really strong second option, which he's supposed to be, he can drift on you. And he also gets a lot of empty numbers. Like, there was a game against you all early in the year. He had 18 rebounds at Miami, but it was the most empty 18 rebounds you can possibly get because of his issues with defending and all of that. So the issue with Carlos Boozer as opposed to Chris Bosh is I think Chris Bosh is a really good third option. And with LeBron and Wade, that's what he's going to be. Carlos Boozer here is supposed to be a definite second option, and he's just not reliable enough, nor does his game really fit what they do. So that's where a lot of his criticism comes from, and the fact that he has shown a tendency to no-show on you when you most need him. So that's where a lot of that comes from.
If I may, let me jump in here. Let me back things out a whole lot. First off, let me get into some more of my famous Master D Sunday punditry. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the 2013-2014 Heat are not going to be in the Andrew Wiggins sweepstakes. It's not going to happen. I'm going to put myself out on a limb and say that. But I do want to ask you, what do you think that Andrew Wiggins' impact on the NBA will be? Because there's been a lot of very, very early, very, very premature LeBron James comparison.
So that's going to be a tough question for me because I'm not one of those people that follows high school players. So the only thing I know about Wiggins is there's a guy in Toronto who follows me on Twitter. He's a Heat fan. And so he told me 2 years ago that he thought the Raptors just tanked. They should have started tanking this season. So so they could have a shot at a first round pick at Wiggins next year. So I assume the kid is pretty good, but I don't know how good. But I do know that you're going to have, you know, we already have at least five teams tank to get him. So, you know, that hasn't happened probably since. And I don't even know. Maybe it's been 10 years since that's happened. I don't know how that many teams tank to get Derrick Rose.
Living in L.A., the main thing Lakers fans always talk about is how many rings Kobe has. And if LeBron is even to be remotely to be considered in that talk, he has reached the same amount, if not more, which to me seems pretty, very extremely difficult. With Wade getting older and Father Time being undefeated from taking stars away from their glory, how realistic do you think it is for the Heat to win two or three more championships, much less four?
I think it's very realistic. You know, like Matt, I mean, unless Andrew Wiggins is going to come to next LeBron James very quickly, I don't see where the next dominant team is going to come to take it from. You know, I mean, even with Wade struggling with his knee for half the season, you know, he still put up his most efficient season in his career. And still can't name, there's no other two guard in the league who's going to outplay Dwayne Wade four times in a seven-game series. There's no one who's going to outplay LeBron four times in a seven-game series. And, you know, Chris Bosh is going to battle, at the worst-case scenario, Chris Bosh is going to battle whoever he plays to a standstill. So, to me, I think they can easily win another two. Now, the third one, that's when I start to worry about Dwayne Wade being injured, you know, and not being able to play. Like, as long as he can play in his ears, I think they'll be fine. But if he gets injured to the point where he can't play, then that will become a problem. But Pat Riley says Dwayne Wade can play another 6-7 years. He says he's going to come in 10 pounds lighter next season, and that's the key for him to sustaining his game, coming in at a lower weight. So we'll see.
Mostly, first of all, I definitely want to give you a chance to plug what you're doing over there at the Miami Heat Index. But before we wrap up, I got to ask you about two guys. And this is just me picking on you, getting under your skin a little bit, so forgive me. Shane Battier and Chris Anderson. Anybody who follows Mosi on Twitter knows Shane Battier is probably one of his least favorite people. Not just athletes, just one of his least favorite people on this earth. But yet, 2 years in a row, when it comes down to closing the game, there Shane Battier is again, drilling jumpers, making plays. The Chris Anderson signing earlier, you were like, this dude's not going to play. You know, he's setting up for the Juwan Howard seat. I know you're not going to change your mind, but in retrospect, two of your least favorite guys being big contributors, how do you balance that, man, as a Heat fan versus your own kind of personal dislike for both of these cats?
All right. So this is what I say first. You know, so Dave Monkey Nut is what I call Battier. I still despise. You know, I pray that he shows up on an episode of the First 48. That's you know. That's where I am. That's where I'm at with him. And as far as him performing well, you know, he has one or two good games in the series after stinking for a double-digit game, and people want to forgive him. But, you know, it takes 16 wins to get Larry O'Brien in your lap. And, you know, Matthew D was talking about back-to-back losses. Well, you know, a lot of reasons they were at danger of losing back-to-back games was because of his performance a lot of times. So I have no love for him. Never have, never will. Chris Anderson, I actually had to reverse my course on. So I was wrong. I read an interview done in the Sun Sentinel about his life, you know, his whole background and everything. So I actually had to retract that. So I stopped calling him cradle robber around the first round of the playoffs. So I was wrong about Chris Anderson. So that one I retract, but I still got a love for that kid.
Well, mostly, as we wrap it up, we definitely want to give you a chance to give all of your social media information, let everyone know about your blog, and how they can connect with you out there in cyberspace.
So the best way to get a hold of me is on Twitter. It's at @MIA_heat_index. You can find a link to the blog on my Twitter bio. And, like my bio says, all I got is eating stuff. So 140 characters or less, you can holler at.
Well, Mosi Platt from the Miami Heat Index blog, thank you as always for coming on to the show and giving us your perspective. And as usual, we will see you out there on Twitter, man. Take care. Thank you again.
Thanks, you guys. I just want to say, I just want to give you guys a shout-out for doing what you do, because people don't really understand how much work goes into producing a podcast like you guys do every week. You know, over an hour of content, sometimes over, you know, 90 minutes of content. I understand. I appreciate how hard it is. I know you guys are sacrificing. Like, it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and you guys, you know, recording a podcast for people out there. I just want to say I appreciate it, even if you guys don't always get the accolades that I think you deserve.
Hey, man, that definitely means a lot coming from you, and we thank you for just checking in with us. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who really are doing this for the love, but are trying to be, and I guess, give something different out there to the fans and to the sports world. So we definitely want to thank you for that. And, you know, as you know, man, you always have a space and a home here on our show. If there's ever anything that you want to talk about or just get off your chest or whatever the case may be, let us know. We'll make it happen.
Appreciate it.
Call me Slick Rick. And all the other women around the world just say, oh, there goes the man. Woo!
Welcome back to the Section 357 show. You're hanging out with Floyd, D, Ron, and Trey. Last call for alcohol or something like it. D, what do you have, man?
I've been waiting on this last call. My last call goes out to all of my haters out there. We talked about my punditry on this show, and as we've seen, even some of my predictions caused some consternation with one of the biggest Miami Heat fans and his wife that are out there. So my punditry wasn't as locked and loaded, wasn't as easy as some of my haters have had to say. And I'll just leave it at that.
Last call for alcohol or something like it. Trey, what do you have, man?
My last call goes out to all the fans who live in states with multiple teams. New York, Texas, California, and Florida. I was out here for the Heat championship game. And even though LeBron and his team were putting on a really good show, there were still people going on about how Orlando this, Orlando that. And I'm like, what's going on, man? Your team is out. They're not even remotely, even in the thought process of what's going on in this championship game. How about we have some state loyalty? So for all those people out there that live in states with multiple teams, go ahead and just put some of the fandom off to the side and just support your hometown.
Ron, last call for alcohol, man, or something like it. What do you have, man?
My last call is to the Section 357 Twitter. You definitely want to make sure you check out the Big Shot Ron, Mr. Ronnie, if you want to call me that, clip of the day. It's going all over the map. Wrestling, NBA, comedy, old school hip-hop, just anything that kind of comes, that strikes the imagination. So check for that on the Section 357 Twitter handle. Floyd, take us home.
My last call always goes out to the fans out there who support us,
and pass the word about the show. We're on Twitter, as Ron just mentioned, at Section 357. We're also on Tumblr. The Tumblr blog is doing very well. I'm posting some articles on there, as well as posting some of the videos that Ron is finding on YouTube. So check that out when you get a chance. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite team out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show. Until next time, take care.